gone into National Treasury. You are going to bear presentation to us this morning on the third quarter. Welcome. Let me on behalf of the committee also convey our condolences to the Chabani family and the families of his two bodyguards who died in a tragic accident on Sunday morning. May their souls rest in peace. Honorable members, what we're going to do, let's not say that just allow us, we just want to do minutes quickly, get them out of the way. The two sets of minutes, three sets of minutes there to honorable members, so we can put them aside and we can focus on the presentation. The first one of the 6th of March. Any corrections on those? The 6th of March. Okay. If there are no corrections, any move for adoption? Honorable Nyalunga moves, or Manan seconds, and there's a set minute of the 10th. Any correction there? None, any mover? Honorable Fip moves, Honorable Tuavada second, and the last one is the 11th of March. When we're considering the adoption of the second draft report. Any correction there? None. Who moves? Honorable McLaughlin moves. Honorable Nyalunga second. We are therefore done with the minutes. Any apologies? We had an apology from Honorable Mazopa, who has been admitted in hospital last week, so she won't be able to do any parliamentary duties as per doctor's instructions. And as the rest of us are here, we are. There's also an apology from Honorable Law from the EFF. I don't remember seeing her, maybe once. Once. Honorable Kwankwa is here today. Don't hide away from me. Today you prioritize us against the Finance Committee. So welcome, Honorable Members. We will therefore head over to National Treasury to take us through the third quarter report. Please introduce yourselves and your team. The honorable members will introduce themselves as they start engaging in comments and questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Felix Mbeke, Acting Deputy Director General of Public Finance at National Treasury. I would like to introduce my colleagues. We have got Owen Wilcox, the Chief Director, Economic Services at National Treasury. And we have got Dr. Mark Dexter, the Chief Director, Health and Social Development. And then we have Yati Akos, who is representing the Chief Director at the Trade Services. Then we have got Julia Debray, Chief Director, Education and Related Department. Then we have got Urika Rogers, Director, representing the Chief Director, Urban and Development Infrastructure. Honorable Chairperson, the presentation. The summary of the report that we submitted to Parliament, I think it's 192 pages that has been distributed and told to the members of the committee. Thank you. The Cardinal Executive Reverend, when expenditure for 2014-15, the main budget revenue to the end of quarter three is estimated to have been 280 billion rand. The expenditure to the end of quarter three was 829 billion rand, implying a budget deficit of 149 billion rand for the first three quarters. Expenditure to direct taxes against national revenue funds. 44% of total expenditure end of quarter three was for direct taxes against national revenue funds. This is equivalent to 367 billion. It includes 272 billion rand transferred to provinces under the equitable share agreement and 77 billion rand to pay state debt costs. Direct taxes against national revenue fund state debt costs. State debt costs represented 76 billion rand at end quarter three, an increase of about 10 billion rand or 7.2% from the equivalent period in 2013-14. Representing 9.2% of the total expenditure to end quarter three, again increasing from previous year. Total budget expenditure was 4.2 billion rand. The 8% or 2 billion rand of this was transferred by departments to households, other spheres of government or other organizations and agencies. 30% or 138 billion rand was directly spent by departments on operations, mostly on compensation of employees. Operational expenditure increased compared to the same period in the previous financial year by 9.5 billion, nominal growth of 7.4%. 89.8 billion rand was spent on compensation of employees, and 40.2 billion rand was spent on goods and services. Growth of 8% and 5% respectively, mainly for wages and equipment for police, defense, correctional, and traffic services. 8.2 billion rand was spent on capital assets, representing an increase of 13.4%. The largest portions of the capital spend are under the departments of water and sanitation and police, mainly for the national park and the building and upgrading of police stations, respectively. The increase is mainly due to improved spending on school infrastructure network grants under the Department of Basic Education. Reported expenditure for 2014-15 operations as represented in the graph, the highest 50% being police, followed by defense. On arbitration, 28.9 billion was spent on arbitration, representing 26% of operational expenditure, primarily to support police, correctional services, and defense. A nominal decrease of 1.5 billion rand from the previous financial year. The Department of Women, Human Sentiment and Economic Development spent 75.6% and 64% of their operational expenditure at this point on administration respectively. A total of 323.8 billion was transferred by departments, representing growth of 8.4%. 96.8 billion rand was transferred to households, representing growth of 9%, primarily for social grants, driven by increases in beneficiary numbers slightly above inflation, increases yeah. to social grant. And then 116.6 billion was transferred to provinces and municipalities, representing an increase of 8%. Large areas of expenditure include the following. The local government equity share transfer under the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Health grants include those for HIV and AIDS and the National Tertiary Services. The Human Settlement Development Grant. 55.1 billion was transferred to departmental agencies and accounts, representing an increase of 3%. Agencies receiving the largest sum were South African National Roads Agency, South African Revenue Services, South African National Roads Agency, 8.9 billion rand, South African Revenue Services, 6.4 billion rand, National Student Financial Aid Scheme, 6.1 billion rand for student loans and patents. South African Social Security Agency, 4.9 billion rand for the administration of social assistance. 23.1 billion rand was transferred to higher education institutions, representing an increase of 8%, the majority being for the block grants to universities. 24.7 billion rand was transferred to public corporations and private enterprises, representing an increase of 29%. This increase is primarily under the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, 12.7 billion rand for the rolling stock fleet renewal program. The transfers and payment to financial services represented the draft. The higher being social development, followed by corporate governance and traditional affairs. Expenditure against scheduled drawings represent the funds that the exchequer makes available to departments on a monthly basis. Total expenditure is well within the total scheduled amount. The Department of Home Affairs, however, has spent over and above its scheduled drawings by 429 million rand. This was to cover litigation invoices and the once-off membership fee paid to the International Organization on Migration. It is expected to be resolved by year-end. Expenditure against scheduled drawings largest left above shows the department in which spending less scheduled drawings by the greatest amount represented 98% of the total left. That is being cooperative governance and traditional affairs, national affairs areas, higher education and training, justice and personal development, energy, trade and industry, water and sanitation. Expenditure is scheduled drawings, cooperative governance and traditional affairs. Expenditure left the scheduled drawings by 2.8 billion rand. This is primarily because equity of the share payments have been withheld in some municipalities to offset the municipal infrastructure grant payments, transfers to slow performance, due to slow performance. Also, there have been lower than expected payments for the desired risk grants. Water and sanitation. Expenditure left scheduled drawings by 2.8 billion, mainly due to the moratorium on the filling of the cycles, together with claims and invoices having not yet been received or done by contractors on various projects under regional bus infrastructure, accelerated community infrastructure projects, and municipal water infrastructure. Energy. Expenditure left scheduled drawings by 1.4 billion. This is because the EDSM payment to Eskom for the implementation of solar water heater program
has not yet been paid due to challenges experienced by the delegation as agents. That is a postal development. Expenditures scheduled to by 1.2 billion. This is mainly due to claims and invoices not yet being received for accommodation charges and for the criminal justice system modernization program, together with non-filling of the proposed and slower than expected implementation of infrastructure projects by the Department of Public Works. Expenditures by 1.2 billion. This is mainly because an extension was granted for the submission claims related to the manufacturing commercial enhancement program. Also, further payments related to the FCZ investment incentives are already now being finalized. National Treasury, expenditure left scheduled to grow by 1.1 billion. This is mainly because the job bars paid right advances to only 5 out of potential 22 projects, leading to National Treasury taking over administration from the Development Bank of Southern Africa and declaring 561 million rands during the adjustment estimate. Further, the transfer payment to the Post Bank of South Africa is being withheld, and the ACG has not yet spent funds that were transferred in the 2013 foreign financial year due to the revision of the project implementation plan. Higher education training, expenditure net schedules growing by 0.8 billion rand. This is mainly because of the infrastructure grants to universities that have not yet been dispersed, and the department awaits the submission and assessment of infrastructure support from universities. Concluding remarks, 2014-15 quarter three national expenditure indicates a budget deficit of 549 billion for the first three quarters, and 6.5 billion rand spent on aid debt cost, a total increase in credit expenditure of 4.5 billion rand, or 8.1% when compared with quarter three 2013 for the financial year. Operational expenditure increased by 9.5 billion or 7.4%. Funds transferred increased by 25.9 billion rand or 8.8%. Total expenditure is within the total scheduled available amount for the first three quarters. Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
Any additions from your side, from your team? None? Okay. Honorable members, that's the presentation. I give you the floor to make comments, questions, and National Treasury will respond. What we'll do, perhaps take the first round of questions, let them respond, take another round and until we are satisfied. Okay. Who wants to start? Honorable McLaughlin, you can start.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, my name is Alan McLaughlin. I'm a member of the committee. I have a huge number of questions, but I'll try and limit them to a few that I think are more pertinent. On page 9 of the third quarter expenditure report, is table is operational expenditure, and I'm just noticing on that on the totals shown of April to December, the cent is spent in this current or the current financial year, the one we're getting with, it runs at a total of 69.3%. I guess theoretically one would hope that it would run at 75% because that's 3/4 of the budget. Can you just comment on whether you have a concern over the fact that we're underspending in total? I know it's not a huge underspend as a total, but if one looks down the individual items, one sees that some departments are really not coming up to the mark and others are far over. So I'd also like your comments on, for example, higher education and training has really spent 82.9% of its budget, transport, for example, is to spend 87.4% of the budget, and then those that are floundering, like water and sanitation, at 42.5%, and health at 47.1%. My particular concern is that water and sanitation and health, these are really basic things. This is the crux of the Bill of Rights, what we are here for, what service delivery is all about. And that's where we seem to be performing the worst in terms of our spending. If one then compares it as well with the table that appears on page 11, transfers and subsidies, you see a similar sort of pattern being repeated there. On that particular table, I would also ask you for your comments on the item, the line item under correctional services, where they've spent 111.2% of their budget already. When they go over budget, can I ask just in broad terms, where does the money come from? Because on my budget, 100% is 100%. I can't spend 120% of my budget because I don't have it. In a situation like this, how are we funding this? If I can carry on and go to the presentation that you've just given us. In general, and I see it's reflected throughout the third quarter report, the words mostly on compensation of employees appear hundreds of times, literally. This is an indication of a larger concern that I have around the ever-swelling national wage bill. It seems we're trying to solve the unemployment problem by employing all the unemployed. We're creating a huge pyramid scheme here in real terms, because all those people aren't going to pay enough tax to keep employing all those people, so the rest has to come from somewhere else, and eventually they're going to implode. Can I hear, has National Treasury got any kind of idea as to the life cycle of this, where it ends, how we start reducing this and turning it around, because obviously it's not sustainable on the basis of that I see here. Perhaps your comment on that I'd appreciate. Can you just bear with me for a sec? There was a concern I had because under, if I find the particular graph. Can I just ask a question in general? I know it's quite often we're transferring monies to private enterprises. Can we just have an explanation as to why we're doing that? What would it be for? I see we transferred $6.4 billion to SARS. SARS is the one who brings in money. Why are we paying a lot of money? Does the fund come into the fiscus and get paid out to pay these other ways? I'm just wanting to understand why it looks the way it does. It's just, please understand, I'm not an accountant or an economist. I'm going to try and put the things together in my head and find some logic in it. So I may not always ask questions that sound that way. In your slide number 15, it says that this is an expenditure against scheduled drawings. This is to cover litigation invoices and a once-off membership fee paid to the International Organization for Migration.
The first form there, which is on interfering with my hearing aid, that's for it actually being going to switch this off.
Don't come to mind, sir. It's mine's off. If I just start again, that's on slide 15 on expenditure against scheduled drawings. Maybe it was my phone. My apologies if that was my phone. It says the Department of Home Affairs, however, has spent over and above its share of drawings by $439.1 million. It says this was to cover litigation invoices and one sort of membership fee paid to the International Organization of Migration. It is expected to be resolved by year end. I said, what is expected to be resolved? Just a question. I'm not quite sure what this is about. A membership fee to the International Organization of Migration. I imagine this is an international body that we pay an amount to as a membership fee. I imagine that's a once-off per annum. So if it's been paid, it's been paid. It doesn't need resolution by the end of the year, my logic tells me. But then if it relates to litigation invoices, that raises a question about what has the department been doing wrong with its litigating. Presumably somebody's suing the department, or several somebody's are suing the department. And if that is the case, what steps do we take to recover this money? If we get an order against us for costs, now that adds to a budget that's obviously unfunded, because we didn't expect to have cost orders against us, so we have to find this money again from somewhere. Do we have a contingency fund for this? And is any internal action then taken if an employee has been reckless or negligent and caused that? Do we have any recourse against that employee? Do we do anything about it? Do we try and recover these funds? Thank you. Then on slide 16, I notice here expenditure against scheduled drawings largest lags, and the most glaring of this, of course, is water and sanitation. I have a huge concern with water and sanitation. They're just not doing their jobs. If I look at that compared to slide 18, and you see this huge differential between the transferred funds and the spent funds, and we're told that the reason for this is because of not yet filled vacant posts. I noticed in yesterday's newspaper there's a whole page of adverts by Department of Water and Sanitation with advertising posts, and they're all very senior posts. I get very concerned that at this point in time, this point in our history, we don't have people in these posts. No wonder the department's not performing. What's brought this about? What action are we taking? Does National Treasury's report on this have any resonance down the line to try and resolve this issue? Obviously, it doesn't help shouting now about the fact that all these bad things have happened or what may have happened, but what are we doing to fix it, apart from advertising for new people? Is that going to resolve the problem? And how is that going to affect the expenditure? Because all the votes in our advertising, or have they been voted for, or is this going to change this whole picture? Because here we're told that it's mainly due to the moratorium on the filling of vacant posts, but in the report it says that most of the expenditure is on compensation for employees. And that seems to be contradictory in a sense. We can't spend most of our money on employees on the one hand, and at the same time say we haven't spent money because of all the vacant posts we don't have filled. Something's not adding up to me. Please assist me with this. And the other question I have is, the money that's being transferred is against what's being spent. Where's that money? What's happening to that money? Is it an interest anyway? Is that interest taken into account in the future funding of the department? Does it accrue back to the department as money that are accruing to it that could maybe help us to fund the department in the future? I don't see a reflection of this anywhere, that these monies that we've transferred, that haven't been spent, it runs into the billions. We've got over 2 billion then, as far as I understand, just in municipalities that haven't spent their big funding. But it's being transferred to them. What happens to this money? What's happened to all the interest that's being generated? It doesn't seem to be brought to account anywhere that I can see. Maybe you can assist me with that. On slide 19, when I see words like those at the end of the first paragraph there, challenges experienced by the implementation agent, alarm bells start ringing in my head. Because this is the kind of nice, comfortable words we use to hide serious corrupt activities and all sorts of things here. Does the department go into what exactly this is about? What are these challenges? Is there something suspicious happening? Is it a genuine, acceptable kind of problem that we're having? Are we doing something to correct it again? It's just, I get concerned, as I say, it's nice, comfortable words, and it's just a few words that could cover over a multitude of sins. I would just like you to express an opinion on that for me, please. The item on the National Treasury on slide 19 is also a huge concern to me. We're a country that has a huge unemployment problem, and here this is the Jobs Fund has just run into serious issues because it's had to be taken over by the National Treasury because obviously it just wasn't performing if it's only funding 5 out of 22 potential projects. What's going on here? What are we doing to fix that? How long has this been the situation? And once again, where are the funds that are supposed to be spent? Is it generating interest? Are we getting any benefit from the fact that the money hasn't yet been spent where it should have been? So the Post Bank of South Africa is the next bullet point. Is that the Post Office Savings Bank? Just a question I have. Is that one and the same thing? Was the Post Bank something different? And why would we be paying money to the Post Bank of South Africa? Just a question that pops up in my mind. Higher education and training, I see again, as part of the waste of submission and assessment of infrastructure reports from universities. is something being done about this, or are we pushing them to fix the problem? Because obviously, if we don't push them, it's, I guess it's not going to happen. Thanks, that'll do for me for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Kovasa.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. We would like to appreciate the presentation from National Treasury. Just a few clarities that I seek. On slide 14, if you could further explain what you are indicating there, because one can see the expenditure. Where you have those pillar going up, I can't recall what you call them in proper terms. But you also have red marks on slide 14. Sorry, you have red marks. What are these indicating so that we better understand the expenditure pattern there? You did indicate that. Probably social development shows the largest expenditure over the period and the other and so on. But one doesn't quite understand what those red marks mean. I know you're saying nominal percentage charge, but just explain that as you said clearer for us. On slide 15, again, the question that the Honorable McLaughlin has referred to with the delayed payment of international organizations. One understands that membership is always paid up front at the beginning of each financial year. One would like to understand what are the challenges in terms of just doing just that. And secondly, is the interest being charged for late payment? Because if that is so, that would suggest there might be a little bit of overspending insofar as paying their membership fees is to those international organizations are concerned. On slide 17, the second paragraph thereof. Expenditure which has been lower than expected in so far as disaster relief fund relief grants are concerned. Does that suggest that we have been having less disasters over the period referred to, or is it there is a problem of capacity in spending in that area? In other words, what would be the cause of lower spending than expected? Again, it does seem to me, same as my colleague was asking, it does seem to me on slide 18, does sound to me like a bit of a contradiction when you're saying that most of the expenditure has been on personnel. But at the same time, there is indication that some money gained from non-payment on vacant, non-filling of the vacant post. So it doesn't quite explain why at one level there's been an increased expenditure on personnel, but you, on the other hand, you're saying that you're suggesting that there have been savings at that level so far as a vacant post are concerned. Lastly, Chairperson, the slide 19. It's not quite clear. Are these the invoices that are supposed to be
grant to the Department of Justice so that it can pay. And pay who? So that part is a bit not quite clear. The non-filling of vacant posts in the Department of Public Works. One understands that that department has had problems, and there has been a review of the post structure. Is that what you're referring to there? That because of that post review, there has been, there has not yet been the filling of the vacant post arising from that review. And therefore, the expenditure there. Is that what you mean? Lastly, Chair, let me just comment with regards to the jobs fund. Yes, indeed, we understand that in the financial year that we are talking about, the third quarter thereof, there might have been challenges as is reported here in spending that fund and creating as many jobs as we would want to, but we also must recall what the Minister of Finance reported during the budget speech, that there has been a lot more improvement in spending in that area and a lot more jobs created so far. So the takeover by National Treasury does seem to me that it has brought about a lot of improvement in spending in that area of the jobs fund, and private sector taking on the responsibility as requested by government, and a lot more jobs being created. So we will have to watch that space going forward. But indeed, we must acknowledge that there is an indication that there is now better expenditure of that fund, and the results are beginning to show. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Fig, and Honorable Sheikh Imam, you will follow after that.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. A lot of the issues that I wanted to raise have been covered, so I'll try not to duplicate any of them. It wouldn't be deliberate if I do. The report that was circulated last week, and I just would like to refer to page 58, it's a similar scenario with all the growths. I would like to refer to the last column, that's the expensive growth column. You would have expected the growth to be, and it is mentioned in this presentation as well, that there to be an increase in growth, and if I just refer to about one, you'll see there that the growth increase is actually a minus growth, so that should be, for me, a concern, especially considering that it is a new year. So that's as far as that I'm concerned. But as I said, it is reported in the presentation, and there are reasons given for the lack of growth in expenditure because of the lags. Page 17 of the report, and this is the last one I'm going to deal with, because obviously if I go through the whole report, we'll probably spend the whole day going through finding issues there. But the one that I want to refer to is the bottom of page 17, which deals with the National Youth Development Agency operations. That's last year, the same period was a spend increase of 20,900%. And it appears as though this year the increase is even more, because there isn't even space to indicate what the increase in spend of that is. So could we get an indication why that is the case? We all know that there has been a problem in that area for the spending in the National Youth Development Agency. So I would just like some comments on that. Then if we go to the slides, the presentation, number 15, the issue of the Department of Home Affairs spending over and above its scheduled drawings by 439 million. That's a concern, and I would just like somebody to say what the purpose of that is or reason. Slide 16 has been covered. Slide 17, I believe that might just be a duplication. It says there primarily the expenditure lags scheduled drawings of 2.8 billion, primarily because equitable share payments have been withheld in some municipalities to offset meat payments and meat answers. I don't know if that's the same or if that's just an error. Slide number 17, 18. It has been dealt with, but I just would like to reiterate that it has come up before. It seems as though not much has been done about it. It is a serious concern is that these invoices by the contractors, we know that the contractors are being disadvantaged because of payments not being made on time. And again, here we have another excuse here that the invoices haven't been received on time. Is there no way that the contractors could be assisted to ensure that if they don't receive the payments or the invoices are not corrected, that they be corrected immediately and not wait for another payment, because I believe that might be what is happening. So they'll issue the invoices and then it will be sent back to them, probably in the post. And if the post office is on strike, as it normally is, then the delay is going to be longer. So I just have a concern with our small businesses in this regard. Slide number 19. Okay, that has been covered. Sorry, that's been covered. That's the challenges and the invoices. And then the slide number 20, Honorable Gopal just raised the issue there, but I just want to further emphasize, this is an issue that has been brought to, or this is a concern that has been raised by this very committee about the capacity of the DBSA. And again, we have another situation where they are not performing due to probably lack of capacity. And again, you know, the problem is that the jobs fund and has been, you know, we have a situation where jobs are of paramount importance in our country, and we have a situation where we cannot perform, where or the relevant agencies are not performing according to what they should be doing. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. That's all I have.
Honourable, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. I think from almost all my points have been clear, and I think the only challenge that I do have is, and I wanted some clarity on that, from what I see, that most of these departments seem to be understanding, and I think it's just the departments like the police and others that are basically making up and creating an impression, a picture that we are within our budget, you know, in terms of the total expenditure, but if you really look at it, I think if you look at the on page 8, it really doesn't show a good picture. So that is the one point that I want to make. The second one being, of course, is the issue on the invoices. Now, I'm not certain anybody won't send the invoice to get paid. I don't know why people don't want to get paid. Really. My understanding is you want to get paid before you do work. And I know lots of people do get paid before they do work. But I really can't understand. That seems to come up time and time again. So I just want to reiterate what my colleague said. But that is a challenge because, you know, I'm not satisfied really that is a challenge, because I know general contractors are hungry to actually get paid. That was the second point I would go on. My concern is also the issue of the state debt cost. Why is it increasing? You know, my understanding is that, I mean, you know, I see an increase of about 13.2%. from the equivalent period in 2013-2014, if you could just elaborate on that a little bit for some. And let's just try and finish up so that your home affairs have been covered, so let me not elaborate on that. Water and sanitation, of course, it's a no-no. I mean, it's not. But I think the ultimate question I want to ask, what is Treasury going to do about these departments that are not performing, that are understanding? What are we going to do about it? What is the consequence now going to be? What action is going to be taken?
Because it's happening year in and year out, all the time. And I don't believe with the situation of water and sanitation, and I'm not going to say nothing is happening. I mean, I personally go on and see a lot of work being done. But again, I don't believe that you know, one should be really understanding anything to that extent. I really don't believe that is good enough. Including even trade and industry, I can't seem to understand. They should just give us some clarity in terms of that. I think the development, like my colleague has also alluded to that one. I'll stop there. Just covering most of the points as we covered. Thank you.
Perhaps let's allow National Treasury to respond, and then we can take a follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. My colleague will assist in answering in terms of their respective sectors. I can just state a general statement that there is no man up to the headquarters that expenditure in terms of its infrastructure, you know, is lagging. Because most of the expenditure, you know, most of the invoices and claims, they come toward the end of the fourth quarter. So in the terms of infrastructure, spending will better amount of expense in the last quarter. And the transfers to operational services, the department is allowed to spend more on transfers, provided that they have requested approval from National Treasury to increase the spending on the transfer. I think people department can provide whether their request was submitted to National Treasury to approve the increase in transfer. Yes, there is a hard increase in the compensation of expenditure, but on an annual basis there is an agreement in the chamber, the labor chamber, bargaining chamber, for salary increase, for cost of living. That's the main cause of the increase annually in the compensation of expenditure. I'm very happy to talk about transfer to staff as well as the creation in home affairs. For all parties covering your sector, more than above those I've mentioned.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The question that was raised on SARS, the PFMA is very clear that all money that is generated by SARS must go to the National Revenue Fund. So they cannot take money out of that for their own purposes. And that is why we have to put the money on the National Treasury Board. So it's two separate issues. It's a revenue stream and expenditure stream. The Home Affairs one, we must remember we're reporting here on the third quarter, so, and we're discussing in this report against the drawings for that specific quarter. Maybe it was put that nicely in the report when they said that the problem would be fixed in the fourth quarter. It is merely a fact of the money was not anticipated to be paid in the third quarter, but in the fourth quarter. And by the end of the fourth quarter, that problem would be resolved. It's also just a cash flow matter. As far as the jobs fund is concerned, yes, when the jobs fund came into operation, it was put on National Treasury's vote, and the DBSA was utilized as an implementation agency. It appeared that the projects were not running as quickly as we anticipated, and that was basically the reason why it was decided to rather take the function back to National Treasury. The function is currently run by our Government Technical and Advisory Center, a unit within Treasury, and you operate like that, there are changes, things are happening. We are now taking it under our own wing and looking after the job some in the way that we want it to be run. The first question, yes, we are referring to the old Post Office Savings Bank, but this now is revamped into a fully fledged banking service to take services to people on the ground and to allow them to have quick access to banking services. The reason why the transfer has not been paid over is basically because spending is slow and there's no use in transferring the 200 million rand to them at this stage if they can't spend it. So we will roll it over and they will be utilized in the 2013-16 financial year. The question that was raised on the presidency vote where there appears to be an underspend. And I think that's also an oversight on our side in the report, although there is a reference to say that certain functions were transferred to the Department of Planning and Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. So if you just page a bit further on in the report, much further into the report, on about 39, you would find the transactions for that funding that was taken out of the presidency vote. The question raised on the stated cost, yes, you are right that in theory you would want to see that cost going down, but we must also remember that we're talking foreign currency payments here, so there's a direct link between the rand and foreign currencies, and that is why this thing keeps fluctuating. We don't have a stable environment.
Okay, higher education and training. The department largely transfers all its money, about 98.5%, and so to universities and colleges and to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. And their last transfer for the whole transfer year is in December. So that's done by 100%. So the rest of their spending is along the normal lines, and then when you put the two together, it looks like they're overspending, but actually they're not. So if you check in the fixed documents on page 84, all the transfers are laid out there, and you can see which ones are actually all at the 100% already, and that's to the universities, to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, and to the Further Education and Training Colleges. And then you asked a question about the infrastructure. So, in higher education and training, the infrastructure is built by the university itself, which means they've got to submit proper infrastructure plans, English Katandi feasibility, etc. So when those plans have come in, they haven't been either fully completed in terms of the things that they have to submit, then those get returned, and then obviously they will not release any funds unless the university has a proper plan. And so that's why the delay, I think it's the total amount is 3.5 billion, and they've already disbursed 2.7.
What are the intentions and other questions to Rika?
Okay. We'll start with the easier stuff, like the transport expenditure. So like in higher education, just about 90% of the transport budget is transferred out. These are significant transfers they make to the passenger rail agency. All the transfers have been made to them and to Sandrail, and then a bunch of conditional transfers goes to provinces and municipalities. So expenditures is driven by those charge payments and when they are made, though, but while the rest of the department operating budget is in line with expenditure. Notwithstanding that, we are rejecting an over expenditure on the transport budget. But this is an unrelated matter related to United transaction payments and the revenue. The agency who collects the revenue now paying into the National Revenue Fund for the transport, for the Department of Transport, to spend the money on maintenance contracts for United. Within water affairs, I think it's important to remember that the Department of Water and Sanitation is a new department. And with the new department is new organizational structures. So on the one hand, it is a department who is expanding so that it's able to deliver on its new mandate, but on the other hand, it's also a department who's trying to continue delivering services. What makes water fare different to a department like transport is that 64% of the department's budget is actually spent in-house, so on the capital budget internally, because they're the implementer. So on the one hand, we have slow implementation happening on grants like the regional water infrastructure grants, municipal water infrastructure grants, the accelerated community services program, and bucket allocation, which they have received from the Department of Human Settlements. But on the other hand, it is also a department that's trying to call to back so that the issues around compensation of employees is relates to filling the new mandate, but also relates to what kind of delivery agent the Department of Water and Sanitation is. Is it an institution that holds the in-house capacity, or is it an institution that outsources that capacity? So do they have the engineers in-house to deliver on the projects, or do they outsource that? It becomes a complex issue because on the one hand, we're talking about high compensation of employees, but on the other hand, we might be talking about high consultants budgets. I don't know, maybe invoices not being received by the Department of Water and Sanitation might just mean it's two things. One, the work has not been done, or two, they are still busy verifying the work. So once the department receives an invoice, we want to be sure that the work has been done before they pay them out. So, and that seems to be a long process. Depends on what that delivery model is and who the delivery agent is, whether it's a water services authority or water board. Because the feedback does take quite long to ensure that this work is done. On the Department of Cooperative Governance, so the issues around there's two issues around the slower than expected expenditure in the Department of Cooperative Governance. The one is to offset So when municipalities underspend on conditional grants, the Division of Revenue Access, all that money needs to revert back to the National Revenue Fund unless the Treasury approves otherwise. So when those rollovers have not been approved, municipalities are not paying, they don't pay the money back, so we offset that against the equitable share allocation. So on the one hand, that's why we low expenditure, or slow expenditure, but on the other hand, there's other municipalities who are not spending their MEG allocation, so that is being withheld, and the Division of Revenue Act makes provision for how that happens. With regards to disasters, there are two disaster grants in cooperative governance. The first one is for immediate relief. So if there aren't any disasters that happen, we have made provisions for immediate relief. So then they won't be spending the money if there's no disasters to happen. And then the other one is the recovery grant. So on the recovery grant, we pay. It's on an immediate relief grant because that money is like a contingency. So as and when a disaster happens, we're able to provide immediate relief. With regards to the deliverables in slide 15 on the energy with the challenges experienced by the implementation agent for the solar water heater program, there's an MOA between the Department of Energy, ESCOM, and its implementation agents. And in situations where the deliverables are not being delivered against that MOA, the department is withholding the money. So it might be some contractual issues, and in some cases it is also just an underperformance. So that's why we're not seeing, there's a bunch of challenges, and that's why we're not seeing money flowing, because one, it's not happening, and two, there's some contractual disagreement between the department and ESCOM, and until those resolve, the department is willing to spend the money. Just a question, there was a question on why do we transfer money to private enterprises? So that in the standard office accounts, it's actually public corporations and private enterprises. And in some cases, we have public entities such as PRASA and ESCOM that are public corporations. So they're listed in the PFMA Schedule 2 and Schedule 3B entities. So the expenditure classification is different from entities that deliver services such as Sandrail. So the expenditure that we're seeing on that's transferred to private enterprises actually transfers in a lot. In most cases, it comes to public corporations. Let me do that. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one of the departments the honourable member raised is a low spending on operations in the Department of Health. I just want to take that question. We are concerned about that spending. The particular area that's coming from is the grant called the National Health Grant, which is shown on page 77 in the document. I just want to give you those numbers. So there are three components to this National Health Grant. The first one is for the National Health Insurance pilot districts, medical contracting general practitioners, and the budget for that is $395 million, and only $55 million has been spent by December. So around about 9% of the funds. And then in the National Health Fund, there's a health facility revitalization component with a budget of $979 million, and only $352 million has been spent, which is real. So that's where the low spending is coming from. In the first one, I think the department has really failed to strike a successful deal with general practitioners to bring them in. The target was to contract with around 900 general practitioners. They haven't been able to reach 200 yet. So I think there's still a way to go before the department is able to get a successful deal with the doctor groupings. On the building component, I think the department vastly overestimated their ability to get projects planned, started, contracted, procured, and so on. They wanted to take over some of these projects from provinces. They thought they could deliver faster from provinces, and it's going a lot more slowly than they imagined. So that's where the understanding is coming from, and we're hoping that it will improve on those over time.
Thank you. Owen?
Thank you, Mr. Mbete. Just on the, I'll just add on to the answers that we've been given. In terms of state debt costs, there are two reasons really why those are growing. First is because of the rand. We do borrow, about 10% of our borrowing is overseas borrowing, so the rand depreciation would increase state debt costs. The other reason is because we've been running budget deficits over the last 5-6 years. So every year we're adding about 4% of percentage points of GDP to our debt. And obviously so the debt costs are rising over time because of that. On transfers to private enterprises, just to add to what Ulrika was saying, in the case of DGI, most of the transfers to private enterprises are the incentive schemes that the DGI runs. So for instance, the Manufacturing Competitiveness Enhancement Program, firms will apply to that scheme. Once the application is successful, they will go and invest in new machinery, and they will submit an invoice to the department, and the department will reimburse them for a percentage of that expenditure. So the department is incentivizing firms to invest in new machinery. For instance, if you look at the automotive investment scheme, the large OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers such as BMW, Mercedes, they can invest in new machinery, and that's, the department will pay up to 30% of the cost of that investment. And that also relates to some of the underspending. The MCEP, the Manufacturing Competitiveness Enhancement Program, they're speaking about, the spending on that has been quite slow, and it's been because the department has introduced a new online system last year. At the beginning of the year, claims were being and applications were being processed manually, but they've instituted a new online system, and that's just when the system was phased in, it took a bit longer than they thought it would. But as we were phasing it in, they had to extend the window for claims to come in. So the claims have come in a bit more slowly than expected. I'm not sure at this stage what sort of impact that's going to have on the full year numbers. We are hoping that they're going to catch up with disbursements in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Owen. I've got a question on slide 19 regarding the non-dealing of the case vote. We are reporting understanding in the Department of Justice. So those that can go to not fit in the Department of Justice, the PW is the submission of invoices. Then the other invoices, mostly that are outstanding, are invoices from state information aggregator, that the agent that is responsible for spending on ICT.
I think one of the chapters in the web covers all the questions. I think I just have made a mistake, or we'll be reminded. Thank you.
Okay. Let's check if members are happy with the answers, Honorable Sheikh.
Yes, sir. One of the points that I was trying to make, we are end of the third quarter. The fourth quarter is coming. My understanding is you'll have pressure on the fourth quarter in terms of payment for the fourth quarter. But if you wait ahead for the third quarter, I'm worried, and I don't mean Treasury is worried whether this is going to be personal dumping in the last quarter, especially with the unspending. The second one is with the disaster issue. you know, it would appear to be, we say that there's been more than expected payment of the disaster, but I think the Utugela area was declared a national disaster and people have not been compensated, nothing has been happened, nothing has generally happened there. Mm. So, I don't know, that for me is a little bit of a contradiction in terms of that. Yeah, I think I'll stick to that. Just that two issues. Just give me some clarity with regards to that, what is the position. But like I said, I'm worried about that first go dumping in, because this is when it all happened in the last quarter, when people start just pushing, and actually if you stay there, you'll be collecting some millions. So you might as well see what, so if you can just tell us what's going to happen there. But then the other one that's not, that has not been shared, that has not been, I wanted to know, the fact that these things have been repeatedly, over periods, and every year in and year out, people are underspending, and we are now following this quarter by quarter. What is happening to try and stop that and put some pressure on people to spend and do the right thing and make sure they deliver? You know, if you could just elaborate on that for me, instead of not waiting for the last quarter coming and then finding people have spent, sending it to COPA, if you could just elaborate.
Thank you. Honorable Manana will be followed by Honorable Pankwa.
Thank you, the chairperson. Mine is displayed fixed in the each of the once-off membership fee. If I heard you very well, ma'am, then you're saying this money was projected to be paid in the fourth quarter. But I don't know what is the value of now being paid before that fourth quarter, according to their planning, departmental plan. If maybe you can clarify that for me, so that you're on the same power with you. The second issue is with regards to the rollover of the post. Yes. Oh, it was you. The post bank, the rollover, are you assured of this committee that definitely there will be rollover for the post bank? Because I know treasury usually take back the money if they are failing to spend it. But in this one, it's going to be a rollover. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Indeed, I agree with Honorable Sheikh Imam. That's my comment. I beg your pardon, Chair. Insofar as disaster relief fund, indeed there are many cases and incidents in the Eastern Cape where I come from in particular, where areas were declared as disaster areas, but after that people ended up having to actually rebuild their own structures and send money out of their own pockets, because either the government took a long time to respond, or in some instances there was no help coming from government at all. That also needs attention. The other issue is, we hear a lot about this infrastructure, municipal infrastructure grant, and that obviously some of the municipalities are failing to submit proper plans as well as the response area. But we're doing enough to actually assist some of these municipalities to make sure that they are able to actually come up with plans, because infrastructure is indeed required. It's needed in most of these municipalities. Now, to actually say that you haven't actually come up with a different plan, we decline your request, won't help if there is a need. The other issue, I think, Honorable Mark, you will beg your pardon, Honorable Member from the DA, I don't know how to pronounce his name, is that he asked a question about what happens to the funds that are not being spent, let's say, by municipalities or provinces. Are they kept in interest-paying accounts? If yes, what happens to the interest? It's an important question, because if you go to some of the provinces, you hear that people keep the funds in interest-bearing accounts. And then once that is done, they actually transfer whatever you need, and they will say, we haven't spent the money, but they will actually give the interest. It's a critical question. Thank you very much.
Honorable Dr. Stolle, and I'll come back to Honorable Kovas.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the input from Treasury. With regard to the increase in the size of our debt, is it possible to borrow locally? Because I heard that one of our problems is that we're borrowing overseas and the rent sort of gets affected. That is one. Two, Chair, is the Department of Justice. I'm suggesting that we actually invite that department. I have served in justice for sometimes, and I think this thing of the criminal justice modernization is quite urgent, and I don't see it receiving that type of urgency from the observations that we did when we did oversight on the premises of the courts, for instance. So I think inviting the department would actually assist us. On the energy and the ESCOM battles, maybe we should invite both ESCOM and the energy department, because economic growth depends on the availability of sufficient energy for the country. And, you know, it is not a department that we can afford to allow to spend time on internal battles frustrating a group. The last one is the universities. If we could get the list of those universities that are not submitting what is required for them to be assisted, the list, so that we can take it from there. Lastly, the National Treasury. I would be interested in seeing how far have you done to, after taking over from the Development Bank of Southern Africa. Because I read some articles in some books that suggested that the Development Bank of Southern Africa have got more skills than the public credit. So I'm surprised when I hear that National Treasury have to take over this function. So I would like to know, how much have you moved from 5, because you said it was only 5 out of 22 at present. Thank you.
Thanks. Just one clarity on slide 12 and 13. You reflect allocations to non-profit institutions. Can you just quickly explain whether you're referring to non-profit institutions within government that are doing work for government, or you are referring to private NGOs which are funded by government? And I raise this question because I want to then go on to ask, what checks and balances does National Treasury have, just beyond, you know, the normal reporting systems, if you are referring to private NGOs, what checks and balances do you have that these NGOs are doing, actually doing the work they purport to be doing when they submit funding requests? And that is largely servicing the communities where government perhaps sometimes does not easily reach out to. I raise this subject because my previous experience with the National Lotteries Board, which is also doing this function of funding the NGOs, has had a bad experience of funding NGOs that are either non-existent or not performing the tasks they purport to be requesting funding for. And I'm being polite deliberately when I say they are not doing, they are being funded but not doing the kind of work they purport to do. So when National Treasury allocates these funds, you have the capacity to check the kind of work they do, that it indeed does benefit the communities they say they are servicing. Because as you can see, their spending is very good, almost 100%. But one just gets worried at that level. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, I just forgot one question. Water affairs. Is it possible, Chairperson, to have someone doing a self audit in the department? Because it's a bit worrisome. This is a department that has to deliver water, and the victims are the historically disadvantaged people. Water is year in, year out. There is an outcry for water. And we hear that they outsource, but also there are adverts for posts. So I would like to have a sense of what type of skills do we have. Do we have enough engineers? And why do they have to outsource when they have got the capabilities in the department? Thank you.
Follow up, Honourable.
Yes, Honourable. Just two quick issues. The first one that I would like to know is the increase in the percentage of revenue for the same period. To compare the increase in expenditure. And then the second question I'd like to know is what is the cost of debt? What are you paying? What is the percentage? And then secondly, what are the terms? And the reason I'm asking about the terms is because we hear now that your debt is paid in foreign currencies. Surely then your objective would be to pay your debt cost, service cost, when the rand is strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In a sense, my questions are related to the most recent comments. The gentleman advised us that 10% of our borrowing is from overseas. That would indicate that 9% is local. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. I just wanted clarification of that. And I'd like to know, of the monies that we transfer to municipalities, do we monitor how much of that is used on settling loan debts and servicing loans at municipal level? Added to that, I'd like to know, are those loans also taken into account when we calculate what our total national debt position is? Because obviously at national level we owe a lot of money, but then at provincial level we owe money, and at municipal level we also owe money. In the budget speech, Minister Daniel was encouraging municipalities to increase their loans and their debt profiles in order to assist funding. And I just think this is all compounding the problem, because if we're not taking that into account, it means our total loan amount as government is much bigger than we actually reported as being. If we're only reporting the actual national debt, not all the composites that are also in this picture. So a lot of the transfers we do, but apart from our national debt servicing spending, is a lot of the transfers we're doing are also doing the same purpose, also servicing debts and settling loans. And I wanted to ask, we don't do many comparisons in this setup, year-on-year comparisons. From one year to the next, the value of the rand decreases sometimes fairly dramatically in terms of its value as opposed to foreign currencies and because of inflationary pressures. Do we take that into account when we decide how much we've spent in comparison to the previous year? Because we may have spent more, but we might be getting less because of the value of rand is decreasing at the same time. We factor this in, and all that what we're actually acquiring for our expenditure, how does that relate to what we used to acquire and what we're going to be acquiring as we go forward? Just a quick question, is a record of total financial assets kept somewhere across government, or do we have little departments everywhere who've got their own little asset registers? Do we have a national asset register? Just a question that popped up. And then lastly, with relation to the issue that was just raised by Honourable Shorpa-Sitoli, Chairperson, I did send a letter through to you. I don't know whether Secretary got it, requesting that we call the Minister of Water and Sanitation Affairs to come and appear before us. And I just thought we may be able to address Honourable Phillips at all his issues in that forum if we could get the Minister to come and appear before us and answer all our questions around water and sanitation and the lack of performance and where we go from here. Thank you, sir.
Have I taken everybody? Okay. Ms. Nafsaj, are your response?
Yeah, just in terms of the debt numbers, so as I said, we borrow about 10% offshore, most, and the rest is all in the local market. In terms of, I don't want to speak about this too much because this isn't really our area, but this is probably fiscal policy should answer these questions better, but we'll probably answer them a bit better. In terms of developing countries, we actually borrow a very high proportion of our debt locally. Most other developing countries have to borrow externally. In South Africa, it's very fortunate that we can borrow so much locally. In terms of the cost of the debt, it varies over time, but National Treasury is issuing bonds on a regular basis, and it varies from very short dated debts, so about 30 days, up to 30-year bonds, I think. I'm not sure whether we do 30 years, but there's a whole spectrum of bonds, and National Treasury obviously manages that portfolio of debts. It's a key part of the National Treasury role and responsibility. I'm not sure what exactly the rates are we're paying on debt, and it varies from day to day.
With the question of the fiscal dumping, yes, that's what we are aware. We are monitoring spending to make sure that we mitigate the effect of fiscal dumping. As Microfinance announced on the 25th of February through this budget speech, 25 billion has been taken off from the baseline of departments exactly to deal with this understanding problem. This money has not been given to any other entity. It has been taken off the budget. I think there's a question on the disaster. Yeah. The MI said that
I think we missed Honorable Kobasa. I think we missed one who asked us a question about the diagram and the red line. Just take one. Just the next slide on 14. To my complicated diagrams, but when I tell you, you will just say, no, that's very nifty. We put two things in one. So we do two things in the diagram. Across the bottom are the departments, then on the left-hand side is the billion, the money, and on the right-hand side is the percentages. So the red bar, the little red bar reflecting the percentages, and it's the difference between last year's quarter three and this year's quarter three. So if I take this is higher education and training, the difference between last year's dark bar and this year's light bar is looks like it's about 30 some odd billion, and then this year's a little bit more, and that gap is roughly 6 to 7% if you look across to the left hand side. So it's kind of like a two dimensional diagram so that you could see everything on one page. So it's just a nominal change. So Mr. McCutton, you asked about what we only compare nominal. So we don't adjust for inflation and we don't adjust for exchange rates. The exchange rates will come about when we're purchasing something specific, like I think if we're buying health equipment and we're purchasing this and that we import it, then they think about when they're going to purchase it, looking for the same thing for payment for international organizations. So sometimes you rush and you get them on the downside, and sometimes you hang in there and then you're on the wrong side and you end up paying even more than what you thought. So nobody can really predict where the exchange rate will go exactly. So those are two questions. And then, ma'am, you asked me about the list of universities. I will have to ask the department, but I certainly will identify the committee secretary, because it's good to know which ones often what happens, and I think my colleagues will attest to this, it is in fact the institutions that are the poorest that are not capable of putting together a plan, and then you they get punished because, and that shouldn't be the way, one should be helping more on that side. And then there was a question about what do we do to help the invoices. They're quite difficult in terms of where we sit. So what I imagine happens in my department, I've got different kinds of departments. So let's say in the department of sport, they transfer a lot of their money to sports federations. And so we, as an NGO, and so we ask, they would be asked, in order to get the money for this year, please tell us what you did with the money last year, so some kind of financial statement, and also some kind of financial performance. So if the federation said they wanted the money because they needed to do some development and they were going to identify 20 talented young people in a particular place, did they in fact do that? So the NGOs vary a lot, Honorable Bavaza, depending which department you're in. So like I've got sports or sports federations, so maybe, I don't know if you think put them in the same category with those NGOs who don't deliver, but then I've got in basic education that NGO is a partnership between government and the private sector, the National Education Collaboration Trust. So that's a bit different because there's two sets of money in there and it's a trust. And I think my colleagues have got wealthy NGOs. So there's a range of them. We would have to, you're asking an important question, so we would have to have a good look at which ones are they. I mean, I've got here for labor, the Deaf Federation, the Council for the Physically Disabled, the National Council for the Blind, Workshops for the Blind, Work Centers for the Disabled. So it kind of varies from the ones that you would be familiar with in the locker room.
Aurika?
With regards to disaster relief, disaster relief is funded in two ways. So we have the immediate relief, and that is managed by the Department of Corporate Governance. But then we also have a bunch of disaster recovery plans, windows within grants that happens through my department. So the Department of Human Settlements has a disaster recovery for disasters that relates to housing. The Department of Transport has that relates to roads that have been flooded. And in education and in health and agriculture, we have a range of them. So the disaster relief grants that we had alluded to early on and the expenditure within the Department of Corporate Governance was related to mostly the immediate relief grants. So where there's recovery that needs to happen, because the road needs to be rebuilt, the houses need to be rebuilt, school needs to, new roof needs to be put into the school, that happens through the line departments. And usually what happens is in those cases, the departments reshuffle their programs so that they can provide the immediate relief. And then it puts back their schedule, and we then compensate them, or we try to compensate them in the budget in some way later in that year, depending on when the disaster happened, with timing relative to when we do the budget. With regards to MIG and poor planning in municipalities, we have a range of capacity support programs in government for municipalities. So the Minister of Finance alluded to in his budget speech about a 4.6 billion rand that we'll be spending over the NDA on capacity support in municipalities. And this ranges from financial improvement that would help with supply chain and that. Within municipal infrastructure, 3 years ago we set up the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency to assist with the Department of Corporate Governance that physically helps municipalities with planning and the implementation of infrastructure. We have, on an urban side, we have the City Support Program, and that has a range of stuff around human settlements, transport, and governance of systems too. So on the one hand, we have all this capacity support that we provide, but on the other hand, people always say to us, it's really difficult for the Treasury, is what do you do? So, you know, what do you do when a department doesn't spend the money, and what are those consequences? And the only thing that we can do as the Treasury is we then hold back the money, and we are criticized for that too, because now delivery's not happening because you were holding the money. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So there's a range of capacity support programs that range within departments, within Treasury, I mean,
So we have a bunch of them. COCTA has a range of them and they provide it. I mean, they have all the brilliant COCTA that just deals with intergovernmental, provincial, and local government infrastructure support. With regards to what happens to the funds that are not being spent, so the Division of Revenue Act is on conditional grants at least. All unspent conditional grants must revert to the National Revenue Fund. You can keep the money if the National Treasury approves that, and you can prove that this money is committed to identifiable projects. So usually we don't allow conditional grant funds to be rolled over unless there is proof of that the money is committed to identifiable projects. We will have to check what happens to the interest on the money. That's done down within a different division within the Treasury that manages this process. So usually these accounts are current accounts that the departments have, so the interest is quite low, but it's going to last amount of money. It can be quite high. And then the loans, the question on servicing, using conditional or transfers, fiscal transfers by municipalities to service debt. The Division of Revenue Act restricts municipalities pledging funding or fiscal transfers, at least on the conditional grant side, to pay for debt. So usually municipal financing or loans is for economic infrastructure, and they generate revenue, their own revenue, either through service charges or through their rate base to pay for that. Usually that's what happens. In some cases it doesn't happen, but where they do pledge, there are restrictions within the Division of Revenue Act that is monitored and governed by the Treasury on how they use the grant funding to pay for it.
Thank you, Mr. Mbeti. There are three matters that I will report back on. The post office of the Post Bank rollover, the Treasury is committed to making this successful, so the money will be rolled over. We cannot start the project and halfway decide, no, we're not going to continue it. I mean, that would just be the first exercise. So the money will be rolled over. It is on our list as one of the items that will be considered for our. The matter of the once-off payment for membership fees, it's not always possible to anticipate exactly when a payment is going to be made. Normally there's a period, it must be between, say, December and February. And we must remember that the person that does the cash flow planning for the department, they already have to do this in March for the whole of the next financial year. So they planned that it would be done in the fourth quarter, but it is possible that the person that had to authorize the payment did the authorization before he went on leave, and the payment went through in December instead of January. So it's not a problem. As far as the job fund is concerned, the issue was raised whether the Treasury is better skilled to take over this function in the DBSA. You must just remember that when the function was transferred back from DBSA to the Government Technical Advisory Centre, there were also people from the DBSA that came over to with function to ensure that there is that transfer of skills, and people that worked on the project previously still will continue to work on it. A last matter, Mr. Mbeti. It was also, the question was asked whether there's something happening now on the top fund that is positive to report back. There was a presentation last week by a team of ours to one of the committees. I will ask our parliamentary officer to make that report available to the secretary.
So we just confirm that the country has established an agency, the government national agency, whereby we assist departments, provinces, and municipalities in terms of infrastructure labor. So that job plan is part of that unit. But then, Shepard.
Let me check if members are satisfied.
It's a shame that the money must be held the capacity. You know, at the end of the day, beneficiaries are losing out in something. So I would like another proposal or something to be looked at other than taking the money back and beneficiaries losing out.
Well, Honorable Vigas has actually taken the words out of my mouth. My concern indeed is that if it means that the problem is actually broader, even the mechanisms we've put in place to actually support municipalities are also not working. To me, that's an indication of the problem. Because if you're going to put systems in place to try and enhance capacity, but then a year or two down the line, you're still dealing with the same problem where you have to withhold funding from municipalities for failing to do their jobs or being able to perform their jobs. So it means that the problem lies not only with municipalities, but with the capacity building mechanism to put in place as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more that, you know, we've got capacity building teams in COPTA, we've got them in Treasury. Clearly it's not working. Clearly it's not working because these challenges are going on and on and on. Now, the problem starts, in my understanding, is in the people that you actually employ in the municipality. And COPTA is not involved in employing these people. Municipalities employ their own people, whether they qualified or they're not qualified, whether they got their expertise or not. It's based on who you know. That's where the problem starts. Now, we can put as many different teams, different departments to go there and try. It's not going to work unless you start from the ground thing. And you understand something. These plans that they come with, these strategic plans wanting money and whatever it is, our understanding is they come in with a plan, they're ready as soon as you get the budget of money, you're ready to kick off. It's clearly not the case. Because it's very simple. If you've got 20 projects in line there, you've got a municipal manager, you've got consultants, you've got everybody in the job. You are supposed to kick it off immediately. So what is the delay? They're not doing the job themselves. It's being done by a plan. What is wrong in actually implementing is because these guys that we are employing, in my understanding, are just not able to perform. So unless I think COPTA comes in together with Treasury and play a greater role into who we actually employ on the ground, this problem is another way to be sorted out. It's going to go on from year to year to year. I would give to Treasury to look at this because creating this Treasury with its own team that all looks in, COPTA's got their own team, then you get another one and you get another one. It's not working. Clearly it's not working. We need to now go there and enforce the nature of it. And those that are not performing, you didn't perform in 2012, you didn't perform in 2030, you didn't perform in 2040, you didn't. They're still there. Why are you there? End of the day, the people on the ground suffering. Government is not performing. That's what I'm saying. We're not delivering. Money is coming back. I agree with my colleagues. Why must money come back? You change the plan. Money is there. Go on. Do the job. It's because you don't have the capacity. We're employing the wrong people and not ensuring that we have quality people that are able to do it. And we're not following them immediately. This, I want to also emphasize, this quarterly thing is not working too. Because by the time you really realize that it, you know, they haven't performed, the year is gone. Or you're in the third quarter. What do you do? So they need to be monitored, I would think, on a monthly basis to see that these projects, these plans that they came with, that they started implementing it immediately. And why haven't you if you haven't done it? So that we don't wait for the third quarter and the final one and then go to SCOPA. And no, that's what we need to really do if we want to become successful and create better life for the people on the ground. I really think we should do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Ravaza, followed by Honorable Clough.
No, Chair, I just on this last comment, I share the same sentiments with my colleagues. But you know, National Treasury is correct in taking the money away, because they can't just leave the money lying around unused. It would be grossly irresponsible if National Treasury were to allow that to happen. What we need to do is to target those departments that are not performing. And they must answer this question, not National Treasury. Go and take the money away if they don't perform. Because otherwise you would not be doing your duty if you allow money to lie around unused all over the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to comment on a few issues. You answered me on the question of water and sanitation by saying it's a new department, therefore it has to start with scratch and so on. But we have had a department dealing with water for 21 years. So to say it's a new department doesn't really does it, because we should have staff there. Whether they're moving under a new name or a new head, it doesn't really matter. The structure should be there. It must have a structure, and we should have a fairly experienced structure by now. Something doesn't quite add up to me in this picture. With which I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it answers the question with all due respect. Just to answer as well what Honorable Portaza was just saying, you know, sir, it's all very well removing the money, but taking away the money doesn't provide service delivery. So now the department may not have been performing, they may punish the ultimate beneficiaries, supposed beneficiaries, of what that money is meant for in the first place. I think often National Treasury tends to lose sight of the fact of how things actually work in a municipality. You have huge compliance issues. I've had this argument with the Auditor General where I say you put so many compliance issues on municipalities, they have to employ special staff just to do the box ticking exercises. They produce nothing else other than compliance. And it costs people money to do that. And they deny it. They say, no, it must just be part of their jobs. It cannot be. It takes far too much time to do these things. So a lot of the time, municipalities are spending time trying to deal with all the compliance issues. Honorable Sheikh Imam says people just employ those who don't. My experience, this time, it's not nearly so simple. In a small municipality, you have to produce a budget. And you have to employ people in terms of what you can afford. And often you can't afford high quality people who really like to help solve the problems. So you've got to do a second best. And then you're employing people who aren't quite as competent. Not because you want to, not because they're friends of a friend, but because that's all you can afford. That's what's available in the market for what you can afford to buy. And I don't think this fact is appreciated very often. Because that same person, as soon as a better offer comes up, they will flop shot, and then you start all over again with the same issues and the same constraints. Now, just as you were saying, when it comes to debts, you're not allowed to use that money to pay debts with. This money isn't ring-fenced to the municipal. It all goes into the pot. So whatever money is there is used to pay the debts, pay whatever demands are there at the time. And at the end of the day, your accounting officer has to worry about trying to make all the sums add up to present whatever accounting compliance issues have to come back to National Treasury to say what you did with the money. But on the ground, it doesn't work all nice and simply because that's just not how real life works. You're going to use whatever money you've got. If it comes to the end of the month and you need to pay salaries, well, you're going to use whatever money you've got in your account to do it. And whether that money comes from a big funding or all big funding, whatever it might be, it's in the account and you're probably going to pay it. Very often what municipalities will do, however, is though they get the transfer now, the contractual process is still in progress. So you've gone through your planning, you've appointed your contractor and you started work, but you've already received, say, 50% of the money for it. You can't spend it all at once, so then you put it into an interest-bearing account at such time as you actually need it. And then you're going to use that interest, as my colleague says, to fund other things that you've got going on in that municipality. That's why I asked the question about what happens to that money in the meantime, that you monitor what happens. You answered me and say, yes, you do have an apartment that deals with that, because I don't think it's always taken into account in the budgetary process. But whenever you make a transfer, if that doesn't spend straight away, it's sitting somewhere. Somebody's deriving a benefit, and if it's not the municipality, well, it could be the bank for sure. So are we funding banks by this means? Are we giving them the benefit of using the money that we're not using straight away? It's just a question that I have, because we could be losing billions of rands in this process if we don't monitor it correctly. So it's just an overall picture that I have. It's not quite as simple as I hear the sentiment being, coming from that scenario myself, I know the challenges one has, and it's not always nice to cut and dried and easy, and I think we need to just make allowances for that. Thank you.
Let's not turn up.
Fantastic. I think we can say that as Nasakara, we are also part of the very communities, because we are not sitting somewhere in this car. We are also members of the health individual employees of the National Treasury. So it cannot give us satisfaction if money had to be taken away from a municipality for delivery or any delivery improvement. There are mechanisms that have been put in place to make sure that there is improvement in safety delivery.
Chairperson, may I also, on behalf of National Trust, associate with what we think we made when started, condolences to the family of the late Minister Chabad. He is the one who spearheaded and started the process of monetary evaluation, whereby the department now on a quarterly basis. The department and provinces on a quarterly basis have report on their performance, or they are in terms of meeting the goals and objectives. So they report on a quarterly basis. Ministers, they file a visual agreement with the president and they report on a quarterly basis. Department also report on a quarterly basis, not only on financial spending, but also on non-financial information. So in a way, you are in a position to monitor. We also, in terms of the division of WF, we also are empowered some instances to actually take away from the entities that are not performing and transfer to those entities that are performing. So that overall the understanding is minimized. Yes, we do believe that there are challenges, but in terms of the predictions that was made through the standing committee, put up the finance task, which we are going to give to the members of the committee, we are not sure that we are not just sitting down, we are doing our best to make sure that everybody is, you know, it's implemented for the benefit of the poorest of the poor. I don't know what my colleagues would like to add. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, honorable members, before you kill the messenger, I think let's appreciate the information given by National Treasury. Because it will help us to do our work. I don't know how much we can do at this age because we are about to close the books this month. Now, the difficulty always with the third quarter is that it's sometimes difficult to predict what will happen at the end. Because my understanding is that the third quarter is up to December. Do we have a sense of what has happened to date, especially with where we have red flags? Let me just make an example. What has happened? 42%, where are we today? We don't know sitting, I don't know if National Treasury knows. Because that's where our worry is. As we call them in, if we do and we find that they are still at 44%, what do we do between now and next week before the books close? That's the challenge we have, and maybe that's what Honorable Shaiman is saying. But, sometimes by the time the information reaches us, it's too late to do anything. But of course we need to engage the departments, and maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we'll get more information from them when we call them in. Because I think it's important that if there are no improvements, we are able to deal with the issues as we deal with the new budget. So I don't know, Mr. Benton, that you can help us. Where are we as we sit here? Where there are reflects, are the improvements or as we worry? And if we have to worry, what do we do? I know that the members will say, well, call water and sanitation in, call energy, call DTI, let's engage with them, which we can do during public hearings. But we have a sense whether we heading for the worst situation in understanding, or there may have been, maybe people were tasked since that time. We don't know, so we need to get that information. So we don't call people here and they come and say, no, you told me about an old report. We are already at 99%.
I don't know if you have answers to this.
Based on previous experience, the headquarter tends to be the highest spent quarter compared to others. So I think correctly they will be saying that end of December is an old story. Up to this date you have improved again. But I think perhaps it could even as I don't know done it before. The major cause of understanding is public works and state information technologies in terms of building the department. I don't know whether also they come here to explain. But I think there will also other departments will also sing the same song as they have them. But based on previous experience, headquarter tends to be higher. Whether it has something or not, I think that's another issue.
Members, perhaps we may want to call some of the departments so we can get first-hand information. Where are they as we're about to close the year? Because if we close the year badly, with somebody spending at 44%, why don't they get more money in the year? Because I think that's the role of Parliament. We're going to be busy with appropriation from April onwards, looking at all those budgets. So maybe those that are too low need to be called so they can come and appear in front of the committee and explain what is the problem of, if you look at some of the reasons about not filling calls or slow processes on filling calls, you look at the I get worried when I see something like claims and invoices have not yet been received for work done by contractors. So these people are not being paid. It's a big problem. And the president has been also raising this issue as paying people within 30 days. But perhaps let's not kill the messenger. Let's thank the messenger for delivering the bad news so that we're able to, we have a sense now of departments that have challenges and maybe the committee must interface with them, interact with them and engage with them. We will of course invite National Treasury to those engagements to sit with us as we go through with those departments to look at these issues. We agree that where money is not being spent, it must be taken away to where it can be used, but we are not rejoicing when that happens, because it means services that are supposed to be delivered on the ground are not being delivered. So you can take money away from the poor, the people of the poor are not better off, but they are worse off. So that's the challenge that we always deal with. But we have to put a lot of attention on performance. It's not really about money, it's about performance. You can see money is there, it's not being spent. And I think that's where we need to really focus on. So I would say, honorable members, that I think we have enough information to engage. We have a sense which departments are slow, spenders very low, and I think we need to call the National Treasurer will come in, will engage, and where we can find solutions on how to unblock the blockages, we should do so. Honorable Shopester, do you want to say something?
Thanks, Chair. I think we are on the right path. But I think we should add something else. You know, departments have got what they call an organogram. And we should actually request the organogram so that we can spot who is not working and we must recommend that that person must not get a bonus. You know, because if we just use a taking away of money, they are not worried. It is the grassroots that is suffering. So we must touch on the bonus, the individual. We must have an organogram that shows the person and their cell number. I once applied that chairperson in the group when I was chairperson for health and social development, because I didn't know much about health. So I just asked the head of the department to send to the committee an organogram with a name and cell phone number of people. And we got the right culprits.
Okay, we must find the culprits. Any comment, honorable members? We will be... When we come back. When we come back after Easter, we do public hearings. Okay. Honorable members can also indicate which department they think we should invite to engage with, because I think it's important. We can already see. Obviously, we can't invite everybody here, but I think where we think that there may be red flags, that's where we want to focus. And I'm sure National Center will help us with more information if we need it. But with what we have, we can already see that it's slow spending. And I think we need to engage, because some of these are huge departments with huge infrastructure money. We need to make sure that those resources go to where they are intended. Honorable Shaima?
Yes, I want to reiterate what my colleague says. That's just the point of view. We need to identify the culprits, if that's the term we need to use, and take the necessary consequences they need to face the concern. That's the first thing. I was also thinking, when we're talking about departments, basic education is also a concern, because we've been with some oversight and some of the schools are far behind, you know, and so that is really a challenge. And I don't know, we'd like to know what's happening with sports and recreation, because my understanding, all these new schools are supposed to be ID schools, but there's nothing in terms of sporting facilities in any of these schools. So I don't know what really, you know, they are doing. But we found a lot of challenges. We went even to schools where the Minister of Health is emphasizing on oral hygiene. You're putting up nutrition centers there. No water facilities for the learners and children to wash their hands. You know, and yet there's a special department, I think, under basic education now that is responsible for the infrastructure of schools. No more public work. They're just not doing what they're supposed to do. So there are serious challenges there. And I think it's not only, and I agree with the Honorable Chairperson, it's not just about the money. It's also about the emphasis on service delivery and people not performing and complying in terms of that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'd just like to suggest that perhaps we should not only call in the worst performing departments, but also the departments that spend the most amounts of money. Because obviously the more money is being spent, the more problems can arise, the more opportunities there are for corruption and things like that. And maybe we need to look at those departments as well as the ones who are blatantly underperforming in terms of the figures we have. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any other honorable members? It's okay for today. National Treasury, your last word.
Thank you, Chairperson. Certainly, from our part, cooperate with the committee, and also attend the hearings where we participate. We're going to give our utmost support to empower the committee to engage with the department.
Thank you, thank you very much. Help us expose the culprits. Honorable members, let's thank National Treasury. They are our very good partner. We work very well with National Treasury. I know Ghost is always here. Even when some of you are going back to Pretoria, Botswana, he is here. So we have a lot of contact with National Treasury. And thank you very much. We will prepare for engagements. Obviously, immediately after the recess, so that we are able to deal with these issues. But for today, thank you very much, and thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Yes, ma'am.
Can be to the party.
Blackie.
Just double check with
him. Yes.
He's standing there next to the guy with the green foot.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Tomorrow.
Thank you.